It's a joy and a privilege to be in the house of God to worship and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I didn't want to say this. Since Mike said this, I'd like to start with something that's sad that happened to me yesterday. In fact, we went to Portsmouth Harbor and I went with Yoshni and Hannah. And while we were there, Hannah and Megan began to walk on the beach, and I stood one place, and there I was verbally attacked with from young people, about say about 10 to about 10 young people, and they called me names, and this happened for 40 minutes, abusive words and all these things, and I didn't want to go to Yoshni and all that because even for me it was greater problems such. And somehow I just began to pray and just began to ask God for His help. And then from the back, someone kicked me in the back, and it swelled, and I went to the hospital. We had a CT scan, and must thank God everything is clear. But there is a damage. There is a swell in the back, and. I think so. We as a church, we need to really pray for the young people of this country. We need to pray for the young people of our community, and especially during this time of the school holidays. We really need to pray and uphold them that God will begin to work and to demonstrate His power in their lives. I said, fortunately for me, the first thing I said, Father, forgive them. And it was that morning, I think so. During this whole week, I had not a very good week, but I also they took my wisdom tooth out. And the next day, another tooth got broke. And but God is faithful in all these things. But He gave me one verse I can say that has helped me this whole week in Isaiah 41, verse 10. And the word of God says, fear not, I am with you. And He said, fear not, I am with you. He said, do not be dismayed, I am your God. And He said, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And for me, that verse, like it became alive for me every day. And that is the verse that given me strength and given me the power to overcome. I know being a Christian is not always easy, but it is in these times God's word becomes alive. And in these times that His word become real in our lives, and what is our reaction towards all these things? But it's only the grace of God and the peace of God. If it happened 10 or 15 years ago, although I was still a Christian that time, it should be a different situation. But God's mercy and God's grace, and I thank Him for His protection, for His love, and for His hand. We only reached home this morning at 4 o'clock from the hospital. I said, the first thing I said, I'll text Mike and tell him, no, I can't make it to preach. But then I told Yoshni she'll be a backup if something goes wrong. I don't know why the whole week I told her she to be the backup if something happens, because I know Yoshni, God has gifted her. She's one of the most impromptu person that can speak. And that's a gift that God has given to her. And this morning I'm going to preach from Matthew chapter 14. And verse number 22. And immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitude away, he went to the mountain to pray. And now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I pray may God bless the reading of his word. I know this chapter I preached in this church concerning the story of Peter walking in the water. But today I want to show you something different, what God has laid in my heart to show the church. And we find that although Jesus was on the mountain, after the feeding of the 5,000, he sent his disciples to meet him on the other side. And Jesus went on the mountain to pray by himself, which means he was about 7 miles from where his disciples were. And now the disciples were in the middle of the sea, struggling with the storm. And while in prayer, Jesus perceived that the disciples were in trouble and they needed his help. And Jesus sees them, although he's so far away, as if they were right next to him. And I want to say to you this morning, God sees you in the middle of everything that you're going through. Even yesterday, God saw me. He sees your pain, he sees your difficulties, he sees your hardship, he just sees you for who you are. God knows everything about you and he sees you. You find that Hagar, after encounter with the angel, in Genesis 16:9 says, she said, "You are the God who sees." And no matter what wilderness experience you're experiencing in your life, I come to say to you this morning, God sees you. God knows you, knows about you, and God cares for you. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So everything you need or everything you desire, the Father sees and he knows. In Psalms 34 verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." God hears the righteous cry. God hears the people when he cry out to you. And also in Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord is everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." So everything, nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. And in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And in Proverbs 4 verse 13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give account." So you see, Jesus in the mountain is praying, but he sees his disciples in trouble. He sees his disciples struggling. He sees your hardships. He sees your pain. He sees your concern. He sees what you need as an individual person. So this morning I want to come to you that God sees what you're going through. When you look at the story of Jesus walking in the water, When you read the old translation, says that Jesus did not walk on the water, he walked on the Sea of Galilee. But the Bible says that Peter walked on the water. But Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee in all his power and all his glory, he walked as the Son of the living God. He walked as if he was walking on dry ground. Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee shows that he is in control, authority over everything, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And Jesus walks on the Sea of Galilee, defies everything about nature and the laws of nature. So we see Jesus is in full control of walking upon the Sea of Galilee. Even they say all the powers of darkness and evil is walking with the power of God. He's walking in all his power, in all his glory. He's walking as the Son of Man. We see that the Sea of Galilee did not have any control of Jesus, but Jesus had control of all the forces surrounding the Sea of Galilee. So remember, Jesus did not just walk on the water, he walked on the Sea of Galilee. Everything that was controlling in and under the sea, he had full control, he had full power. The Bible says that Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, we need to understand this. The disciples were where? They were in the middle of the sea. They were stuck in the middle of the sea. So they say probably from the land, Jesus, now you need to know, Jesus had to walk come down from the mountain, and he had to walk on the Sea of Galilee. So from the land to the middle of the sea, it says about 4 to 5 miles. So Jesus never walked on the Sea of Galilee just for a few minutes. You need to understand that and put that in your mind. When he walked on the Sea of Galilee, they say a medium walk for about 4 to 5 miles is 1.5 hours. So Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee was not just a few minutes, but he's walking about 1.5 hours in all his authority, in all his power. When Jesus came from the mountain, he had to walk on the sea for that 1.5 hours to get to his disciples. We need to remember, when he walked this 1.5 hour on the Sea of Galilee, the storm was still present. But the storm did not hinder the progress of Jesus. The storm had no control of Jesus walking on the water. He had control of the water. He had control of the storm. He had control of everything that was happening on that particular day. He walked in the midst of the storm without the storm hindering his progress. When the disciples saw him walking in the water, when he was coming near to where the disciples were, what they thought it was a ghost. Because the disciples were experienced fishermen and they knew that only a ghost or a spirit could walk on the water. But it was Jesus walking in the power of the Spirit to his disciples. So Jesus was walking in the Spirit. He was walking in the power. What they saw was true indirectly. He was walking in the power of the Spirit to get to the disciples. So Christ dwells in the supernatural. And he also wants us to walk in the miraculous. He dwells in the supernatural. He dwells in the miraculous. He dwells in the impossibility. Everything about Christ is the impossibility. And God is calling the church to experience that supernatural, to experience that power, to experience the Spirit of God moving as never before in your life and in my life. And this is why he said to Peter, when Peter recognized it was Jesus, what he said, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to come." And what Jesus said, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to walk to Jesus. And Peter was upheld by the word of God. So God is calling each and every one of us to walk in the places that we have not walked before. Remember the last time I preached in the church here, the man at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the moving of the water. And what Jesus said to the man, he said to the man, arise, take up your bed and walk. This man never walked for how many years? For 38 years. And what Jesus said to him, I want you to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. So he made that man do something that he did not do before. So God is calling the church to walk in places that you have not walked before. And he called Peter to walk on the water, because Peter in the Bible is the only man that walked on the water. And that is what God wants us to walk in the supernatural and walk in the miraculous. The Bible says that when Peter saw the boisterous wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. At this time, Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Peter, as I said, is walking in the water at what? At the command of Jesus. Jesus said to him, come. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. You know what the Bible says? When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was a? You know what Peter was? Peter wasn't afraid of walking on the water. He was not afraid of walking on the water. He was now afraid of the boisterous wind, because the Bible says fear gripped his heart when he saw the wind, the spirit. And in some cultures say that even when bad wind blows, it's not very good. And just as we believe the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and working in our lives, there's also bad wind and bad spirits that blow. But you see, he was afraid of the wind that was boisterous. Remember, Peter is not. Remember, he's walking in the water, and he's not afraid of that, but he's afraid of the boisterous wind. You see what happened? His focus shifted. He shifted his focus. Rather than fixing your eyes upon Jesus, rather than looking to Jesus, rather than holding on to the word of Jesus, he shifts his eyes towards the storm. He shifts his eyes towards the boisterous wind. And so every time you and I, when we shift our focus, what will happen? We will lose our miracle. But as long as our eyes is upon Jesus, we'll begin to walk in the supernatural. We'll begin to walk in the power of God. So a simple lesson, if your eyes is on Jesus, you're going to walk in the supernatural. When you're walking in the supernatural, we need to understand the storm will still be there. In this story, the storm was still there. But God gave him the power to walk in the supernatural power of God. Many of us allow the natural to distract us from walking in the supernatural. Peter walking in the water was supernatural. But the natural, the wind, distracted him from walking in the supernatural. So whatever you're going through, don't let natural things distract you from walking in the supernatural. God wants each and every one of you to walk in the supernatural, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you look at this story, you know there is two types of winds that are made reference in the story. When Jesus commanded his disciples to walk on the other side, the disciples, they got into the boat and they began to row. And the Bible says that the wind, first wind, was contrary. It was against them, and they made him got stuck in the middle of the sea. So this wind, contrary winds, winds that will hinder your progress, that will delay your progress, your movements, and distract you from moving forward, just like the disciples. They were stuck in the middle, and something that is keeping us stuck just being in one place. And these are the contrary winds that come in our way, that just to keep us stuck. There's no way going in, there's no way coming out. We are stuck in the middle. We got no way to turn. Everything seems to be against us. Everything seems against your life, your health, your family, and your ministry. Everything like seems to be stuck. You're stuck like in one place. It prevents you from moving forward like the man sitting in John chapter 5. You're sitting at the pool of Bethesda 38 years. Imagine that. You are stuck for such a long time. But God is calling us to break through that contrary wind and walk in the power of the supernatural. The next wind was boisterous wind. When Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk in the water, he had nothing to shield him. The wind became boisterous, stronger, more violent, more alarming, and more overwhelming. And there are moments in your life, as you step out in faith and you want to draw closer to God, the intensity of the storm seems to increase. The closer you get to your destination, your miracle, your breakthrough, the greater the opposition seems to appear. So every time you want to do right and every time you want to draw closer to God, something negative always happens. Now when Peter, Bible says, when Peter saw the boisterous wind, what happened? He was afraid, and he began to sink. So boisterous winds are designed to destroy your life. Boisterous winds are there to bring your life down. Just like Peter, it wants to destroy the life of Peter. So these are the winds that come against the church. But to the mercy of God and to the power of God, in these times when whatever winds we experience, you may be feeling you are stuck, and you seem like you have a death sentence on your life. This is the time that we need, and just like what Peter did, he began to call upon the Lord, and he prayed a short prayer. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says that Jesus reached out his hand and began and saved him from that storm. I remember I said this in the church. Do you know that Jesus was right next to Peter when he lost the miracle? Because how I know this, because the Bible says he stretched forth his hand and caught him. So he had to be right next to Jesus. And some of you, now is the time for you not to give up. You're right at the brink of your miracle. Your miracle is right at the in the hands of Almighty God. Just like the man on the cross, he received his miracle right at the very end of his life. So your miracle is at hand. And God wants to deliver you. God wants to give you the victory. Now is the time for you not to give up. You came too far. But His strength and His power will give you the power to overcome. When Peter began to sing, do you know that Jesus reached out his hand and saved him? An interesting thing, do you know that Jesus did not carry Peter back into the boat? Peter had to walk again in the water next to Jesus. Some of you, because of storms of life, you begin to you feel like you're sinking, you're in a storm, and you seem to be no way out. Once you tasted the power of God, once you tasted the miraculous, once you tasted the supernatural, you've seen the power of God. But God is calling the church to rise up again and walk in the supernatural. And when I came to say to you this morning, God wants you to walk in the power of the supernatural. He wants you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to walk away in places that you've not walked before. Do you know in the story, when, as said now, in the story we need to understand Peter walked twice on the water. The first time he walked on the water, he walked on the water being a distance from Jesus. And that is why he said, Lord, if it's you, allow me to come. He wasn't fully sure. There was some kind of uncertainty. But he began to walk on the water, and every step he took, what happened? It drew him closer to Jesus. And the next time when he sings and he calls upon Jesus and Jesus saves him, he begins to walk on the water again, but this time next to Jesus, not from a distance. And some of you, you maybe feel that you are far from God. You feel like you are being in a distance. You feel like God has forgotten about you. But God wants you to walk closer to Him, just like Peter, right next to Him. And yet, when Jesus walking to, when they go to the boat, there's no account in the story that says that Peter was afraid. All the Bible says, when Peter, Jesus saved him, they had to go back in the water. They had to walk on the water till they get to the boat. But this time, Peter was secure, he was safe. So when you have that close relationship with Jesus, when you draw closer to Him, there is no storm that can affect your life. Because He is there to help you. He is there to help you. And He is there to give you hope and give you a future. He is there to bring you out of that storm. So today, just draw closer to Him. Draw closer to Him. Let Him walk by your side. If that's why the Bible says in Amos, how can two people agree unless they walk together? That is why draw closer to Him. Draw closer to Him. Walk with Jesus. When you're walking with Jesus, you're walking in the power of God. You're walking in the supernatural. You're walking in the miraculous. You're walking in the ways that you have not walked before. And many of us are walking our own ways. And that is why when storms come, we begin to sink. Because we are walking from a distance. But now God is calling the church to walk with Him. And that's why Christ came into this world, so that you and I could not serve Him from a distance, but within a relationship of closeness, of unity, of oneness, of Him being the temple of God in our hearts, in our lives, of Him being real, of Him being special. So God wants the church, and He wants us to walk with Him. So from this story we can learn that God wants us to walk in places that we have not walked before. He wants the church to walk in the supernatural. Yes, there will be storms, there will be discouragement, there will be hurts, there will be failures, but He wants us to walk with Him. You may be a Peter. To do something that no one else did. And that is the uniqueness of the Bible, of the Word of God. And walk, make you walk in the places that you have not walked before. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for your gracious love and for your mercy. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us and you have chosen us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful to your word and you are faithful to the promises that you spoke into this ministry, into the lives of your people, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you know the storms that have come into their lives, and some of them have discouraged them and brought scars in their lives that have hurt them, Lord Jesus. But I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that once again, Lord, this church will arise. Once again, Lord Jesus, that your people will arise. Lord, we pray that in this church families will arise. And Father, we pray that once again they'll begin to walk in the things that you've called them to do. They'll begin to walk in the power of the supernatural. They'll begin to walk in the power of Almighty God. We pray that your glory, your presence, and your peace will just be manifested. And we pray, Lord, that even today that you'll demonstrate your power as never before in this ministry, in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son. We pray, Lord Jesus, that once again, Lord, that your glory will just be manifested, O God. We pray that this church will begin to walk in places that they never dream of or think of, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you raise this ministry up and raise the individuals, raise the leaders, O God, with the power of your Spirit, O God. Lord, we pray once again, pour out your Spirit, O God. It's the Holy Spirit, O God, and His power of the Holy Spirit, that His power will be demonstrated, that miracles will take place, O God. Signs and wonders will take place. The sick will be healed, Lord Jesus. People will be delivered. People will be set free, Lord Jesus. Souls will be saved, O God. This community will be saved and delivered by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that your glory will just be revealed, O God. And today that you have a purpose for this church, O God. You have a calling for this church, O God. I pray for those that are seen far from you, Lord Jesus, that today, this morning, draw them by the Holy Spirit, O God. Draw them by the power of your Spirit. Draw them, Lord, to the cross, Lord Jesus. Draw them to have a closer walk with you. Draw them to have a closer relationship with you. Draw them by the power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the glory and the presence of God will just be manifested in the name of Jesus, that this ministry, Lord Jesus, that your glory will just be revealed and your power will be revealed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to thank you for the power of God will just work in the lives of the people. Lord, even as the storms come, Lord, even some storms of God that keeps us stuck, Lord, and I pray that the people that, Lord, that feel pressured and feel like in the middle of something and there seem to be no way escape, oh God, that you'll deliver them. And Lord, even as Peter called upon you, you will deliver your people, Lord Jesus. You will save your people, Lord Jesus. You will set them free. Even the boys winds of God that blows in their way, Lord Jesus, that try to destroy their lives, of God, and destroy their families, of God. We pray this in the name of Jesus, that we call upon the Lord. We call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your glory will just be revealed in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your power will be manifested. And we pray that you'll save your people, Lord Jesus. Deliver your people, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that your glory will just be revealed and your power will be manifested in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have full control over the lives of your people, just as you had full control walking on the Sea of Galilee. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that even today that your word says, every knee will bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, O God. You are in control of everything, Lord Jesus. And today we pray that you will take control of your people. You see the situation that they face. You see the storms that they are in, and you will deliver them, Lord Jesus. You will come to their aid and you'll bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless this ministry, I pray, and bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.